Let's pray. Lord God, I do pray that as we look into your word in Jonah, it would speak to our lives and our situations today. Come by your Holy Spirit now, we pray. Amen. Last week in Stourbridge, we had one murder, and we had one attempted murder. And all that in the end is the result of unrestrained and controlled anger. And in God's eyes, our deeds and our actions actually, you know, equally fall short of God's standard of loving. So if we hate, it's on the same spectrum as murder. Jesus says this: anyone who's angry with his brother or sister without cause will be subject to judgment. Last Sunday I was out there and there were some lads playing football. I said, please stop. 10 minutes later they were still playing football. So I said, please stop. 10 minutes later they were still playing football. So I got angry and I seized the ball and I ran away with it and I threw it in my back garden. And then one of the lads, who was very, I don't quite know how to describe him, he ran round, leapt over my gate and got in the back garden and got the football. And then I was angry. I was angry because he'd gone in my back garden. Now, two questions. Did I have a right to be angry? Did I have a right to be as angry as I was? And actually, it wasn't the first thing this lad had done that day. The 10:45 service, just as the two people came up to receive the chalices, he walked up to the front very insolently and demanded some wine. And I told him to leave. And he did. Now, which problem concerned God more? The incident with the chalices or my back garden? Someone who treats the body and blood with contempt, body and blood of Jesus Christ with contempt, or someone goes in my back garden when they shouldn't? Which is more serious? Well, actually, I was more concerned about my back garden than I was about communion. That's a far more serious thing. And so often we're not very good at being angry. And yet this is on the same spectrum as murder, ultimately, according to Jesus. It leads to the same things. Often we're too much angry about the wrong things. You know, when we've got a reason to be angry, often we're often angry in the wrong way. Well, here, in the last chapter of Jonah, we've got a story about anger. Jonah is unjustifiably angry about how great God is, about his mercy and his kindness and his goodness. I want to look at it under two headings about anger. First of all, there's Jonah's misplaced anger, and then God's super generous grace. So first, Jonah's misplaced anger. Just remind you of the story so far. Jonah lived in ancient Israel 2,700 years ago, and one of the largest cities of the day was Nineveh in the Assyrian Empire. It was a powerful empire, and it swallowed up nations around it. It was a threatening place to Israel. If you had a list of the 10 nastiest cities in the world, Nineveh would be on it. It was a cruel and violent place, from what we can tell. So when Jonah's told to go and preach to Nineveh, he runs away. It must have felt a bit like saying, go and preach in a city full of terrorists. Fortunately, of course, we can't run away from God. You know, it's futile. And so actually, God brings Jonah back and he goes to Nineveh. And he's a God of second chances. So God gives Jonah a second chance, and of course he also gives Nineveh a second chance as well. And here we look in chapter 4 at Jonah's response to all this. He looks at the transformed city, and it says, just not what we're expecting, but to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became very angry. And he wasn't just a bit angry, it says he was very angry. The Message version puts it this way: Jonah was furious, he lost his temper, he yelled at God. Or in Romanian it says he burnt with anger, he kindled with anger. But surely he should have been rejoicing, shouldn't he? This city has turned round to God. Jonah explains his anger, verse 3. You're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. A God who relents in being incensed from sending calamity. He's angry with God because his character, He's angry because God has been kind and good to Nineveh. He's saying, you should have destroyed this city, not spared it. God, they don't deserve it. You've made a mistake. They don't deserve forgiveness. Jonah sounds a bit foolish, doesn't he? You know, he knows the truth. When he talks about God being compassionate and slow to anger, in verse 3, he's almost quoting straight out of the book of Exodus, chapter 34. In some ways, he's a very biblical person. You know, theologically, he's as sound as a rock, as solid as a rock. You'd say he's orthodox, biblical believing, creedal, fundamentalist, traditionalist. He knows all the right things. He can quote them. But the problem is he's not ready to apply them to people. Now, he thinks God shouldn't show mercy to Nineveh. He thinks that actually, I know better than God, I'm wiser than God. God, you're too soft, you've let them off too easily. How do you know they've really repented? They're too bad to be forgiven. They can't really change. And if they're in heaven, I certainly don't want to share it with them. And actually, Nineveh were a potential threat to Israel. In the future, they'd invade and decimate the country. We all think forgiveness is a good thing. Yeah, maybe we think we're merciful, we're forgiving. But what happens when it affects us? God says to people responsible for hurting us, you know, turn to me and repent. And through Jesus Christ, all is washed away. You know? Accepting people who've done great wrong can be really hard. But actually, when we look through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of the cross, then it becomes possible. Jonah's angry with God. We live in an age where people splurge out their feelings in all sorts of ways. In the newspaper, social media, chat shows, you know. So is it all right to splurge out your anger at God? On the one hand, God wants us to be honest. There's no point hiding from him. If we feel really angry about him, about something, we should say it to him. We shouldn't pretend that we're not angry. You know, people can cheat at most things, but one thing you can never cheat at all, ever, is prayer. Because God knows exactly what you're thinking. So if you feel deeply angry, don't go to God pretending or ignoring the fact that that's where you're at. However, on the other hand, prayer is communication. You know, there is a sense in which it's dialogue. You know, in prayer conversations in the Bible, people talk to God and God speaks back. And when God speaks to us, we must remember he's in a completely different category of being to us. He's the creator, we're the creatures. He's the owner of the universe, we use everything on loan. He's the master, we're the servants. He's eternal, we're finite. And so while it's good to speak to him with absolute honesty, when he speaks back, and he does this primarily through the Bible, we must listen. And so we may yell and shout at God, but actually, as we do that, we've got to remember the last word rests with God. So God says to Jonah, verse 4, have you any right to be angry? And he's absolutely right to question us. And when we ignore him at our peril. You know? Jonah, by questioning God's mercy, is actually becoming self-righteous. He's making assumptions about the people of God. I know what's going on inside their hearts. How complete was their repentance? They've just changed on the surface. It's not a real turning to God. You know, they've turned from evil, but do they really realise how foolish their worship is to those empty statues of stone and wood? Have they left behind all their superstition? How do you know, God, their repentance is going to last? I don't know if you can see yourselves making those questions. How do we know they're sincere when they come into church? But that's the grace of God. He takes people as they are. Well, the sin, the offence is against him. You know, forgiveness is his business. And so he asked Jonah, do you have any right to be angry? That's a question we've got to ask ourselves. You know, it's possible to become very angry with small things. And this is something that happens to all of us. You know, you have a product or something in the house and something goes wrong with it. And you phone up. And you get through to a call centre. You get passed from one person to another and you're always waiting. And you spend 3/4 of an hour on the phone and in the end you don't really feel satisfied. Who feels angry? Most of you. Yeah, you feel frustrated, don't you? Okay. And yet, 21,000 children a day die from preventable causes. Lack of adequate food, clean water, few simple immunisations. Now, maybe I should be a bit concerned about the call centre. It may not actually be their fault. You know. But should I not be angry at a world, you know, where there is so much poverty and suffering, and yet I never think about it? You know, my little problem with the call centre is a tiny fraction, perhaps, of things that have gone wrong with our world. And so often our anger isn't proportionate. You know, we get angry at the small things that affect us, and we forget the enormous things out there that affect other people. Jonah answers. God answers. Jonah answers God by his actions. You see, verse 5, he stomps out of the city in a huff. God hasn't destroyed it, so he goes and makes a little shelter out of leaves and branches, and waits to see if God will change his mind. You know, I mean, the way that Jonah acts is one way we sometimes deal with anger. We blow up. You know, well, God, Jonah's done that. And then having blown up, he does what people sometimes do, he clams up. And that's sort of what Jonah does next. We shut down, we stop cooperating, we stop answering, we stop talking, we separate ourselves. It's not always physically, but it might be mentally inside our heads. So we erect little walls inside our heads and says, I'm okay, you're not. I'm good, you're bad. I'm right, you're wrong. We sort of become spectators and we sit there with our arms folded in a huff. That's what Jonah does. He goes and sits outside the city and says, right, God, I'm going to wait until you change your mind. That's Jonah's anger. But let's now look at God's grace. Verse 6 and onwards. God's response comes in sort of the form of a parable. You know, and it happens in real life with Jonah as the main character. Jonah sits under his shelter. It's hastily made, it's very hot. It's the desert. Temperatures might be soaring up into the 40s, perhaps. It's intolerably, life-threateningly hot. And like the Ninevites, Jonah faces the problem. They face destruction. He faces, well, just severe sunstroke. But in both cases, they can do something about the problem. Nineveh fasts. Jonah builds a shelter. And then in both cases, God acts. God relents from destroying the Ninevites. And then verse 6, he helps to make Jonah's shelter a bit better. He provides his plant, a very fast-growing vine that grows up over a shelter and provides a bit of extra shade for it. But then what happens? Verse 7, following day, a worm sees the vine, chews it, and it dies. And so when the sun rises, Jonah's rickety, inadequate shelter provides him no shelter from the scorching wind at all. And he feels so ill, verse 8, he says, it would be better for me to die than live. Notice carefully, what he says in verse 8 is almost the same as what he said in verse 3. Has he learned anything? God asks the same question, verse 4 and verse 9. Is it right for you to be angry? Jonah was angry because God had been gracious, kind to Nineveh. They didn't deserve it. That's the nature of grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God is kind towards us. We never merit it. So God has sort of put Jonah in the same situation as Nineveh. He's put them in their shoes. God does to Jonah what God wanted to do to Nineveh. He sends grace to him. He sends his plant to destroy him, to protect him. But then, he destroys it. So in verse 3, Jonah is angry that God's grace worked. And verse 9, he's angry because it didn't work for him. that's the nature of our self-righteous anger, self-centered anger. You know, we're far harder on other people than we are ourselves. We're not fair. We're not even in our judgments. That's what a judgmental spirit is like. I don't know if you've ever had... You find yourself with critical thoughts towards other people, but if you stopped and thought, you might find actually a lot of those thoughts I could apply to myself as well. And a judgmental spirit is very dangerous because we end up putting ourselves in the same position as God. And so God here applies it to Jonah. If Jonah was concerned about that vine which protected him, a mere plant, here today, gone tomorrow, how much more should God be concerned about the fate of an entire city of 120,000 people, you know, of whom, he says, cannot tell their right hand from their left, have fallen so far as to lose any sense of right and wrong? Surely God is more concerned about people than plants. So two thoughts to end with. God holds back his anger, but there's a limit to how long he will hold back his anger. And he's morally righteous, but in the end, he cannot ignore evil. Later on in the New Testament, we see Jesus looking over a city. He looks over Jerusalem, and he's concerned. And he's so concerned that it says that he wept. He wept because he knows that judgment will come to the city. 40 years later, the Romans will come in and destroy the city. The people of Jerusalem failed to recognize the coming of God's Messiah. God is angry, but there's a limit to how long his anger can be held back. And secondly, God has dealt with anger at the cross. You know, sometimes we can't deal with anger because we don't know how to forgive. But when we are forgiven and we understand what is to be forgiven, then we can begin to forgive and release others. Richard Wurmbrand was a pastor of a church in Romania during the communist era. He was imprisoned for 14 years, spent 3 years in solitary confinement. He was often tortured. And he was finally given permission to leave Romania and immigrate to the West. And one of the last things he did before leaving the country was go to the grave of the man who had imprisoned him and tortured him. And he laid flowers on his grave. It's a way of saying, I forgive you, I forgive you. And he left the country without the slightest bitterness or resentment towards those who had imprisoned him. How could he do that? Well, he could do that because of the cross. You may think our bad temper is a problem, but far more serious is God's anger. We're so often angry about the wrong things, or the right things in the wrong way. But God's anger is perfect. And he's never mistaken. He's never over the top. But on the cross, Jesus bears God's anger, you know, as he carries our sins. And when we look at that and see our sins have been taken away, and the sins of other people have been taken away, and if mine have been taken away, then I can forgive others as well. As it says in Colossians, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let's pray.